This is John Hope Bryant, and I'm in New Delhi, India, for what has been one of the truly special experiences of my life. I'm here with my sweetie, Mrs. Sheila Kennedy Bryant, and my mother was here. And I joined young global leaders from around the world for Dignity Day, India, where we went into Vasant Valley School and other schools and talk to children about dignity. But more so, the children almost seemed to be telling us what dignity was all about. And it really inspired me that the next generation is in good hands and that India is on the move. It's not just on the move economically, it's the largest democracy in the world, the largest free market in the world, a couple hundred million middle-class Indians, a wealthy class that is genuinely concerned about the plight of the poor, a messy democracy that has been so flat and involved with the people that they have only had two prime ministers to be reelected in, I believe, since 1950. That shows the churn and the demands on elected officials to deliver. But I'm doing this special podcast as we travel from New Delhi to Agra, India, following the World Economic Forum meeting and the meeting of the Forum of Young Global Leaders, to share a story that inspired me and truly showed me, beyond a reasonable doubt and a shadow of a doubt, the power of dignity and the substance of dignity in the lives of the everyday Indian here in this great country. Last night I went to go give a speech at the Management Development Institute, which is chaired by my friend Singh, Mr. Singh. It's the fourth or fifth top management university in all of India, one of the top in the world. And I want to go speak to the young people there at their request about our work with Global Dignity, but more so about the work of Operation Hope, which they seem to truly take an interest to during the meeting for the young global leaders, where several students were in attendance. In any regard, I gave a speech, and after the speech was over, my wife and I headed back, and I was very tired. We had to stop at a mall to buy a couple jackets because we were traveling to a colder region of India. As you can hear, my throat's a little raspy because we spent some time outdoors, and the Indian cool nights got the best of me. But it's a high-class problem. On the way back, the driver, who I assumed was a part of the university, the driver was clearly interested in getting home. He drove us back very safely. We got to the hotel, mostly because I was on the phone, preoccupied and tired. I didn't look in the back seat, and I left my wallet, including my passport, my credit cards, very critical items I left in the back seat of the car, and alone the very attractive pouch that it was being carried in, and I left it there. About an hour later, normally I'm not this careless, particularly with those items, but back in the room, I noticed that it didn't have any of my credentials. I didn't panic, but I was obviously concerned. I'm in a foreign land. Supposed to be traveling the next day, traveling to another country after this to give a speech with Andrew Young in Germany. And I didn't have a passport, credit cards, anything. So we called the coordinator. Luckily, the Mahi had given me her card. She was a student coordinator. And I called her on her cell phone. And that was just a heaven sent because she gave me a card right before I got in the car. I didn't have a number for anybody else. Called her around midnight, and she then tried to reach out to the driver, explaining that this was not a driver on staff at the university. It was a contract taxi, And I started to get a very bad feeling because I knew that this happened in the United States of America. Kiss that wallet and all its contents goodbye. She didn't call back right away. And I knew that there was something wrong then. And finally, she called back and said that she just could not ring, could not reach the driver. He had turned his phone off and didn't know the company he worked for or where the car was being held. And I knew that if that car sat overnight, that somebody, even though India is not a place rampant with crime in the traditional sense, there's a lot of dignity here in the people. They want to work hard and take care of their responsibilities. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's an attractive acquisition if it's just sitting around and nobody's claiming it in the back seat of a car. Make a long story short, my new friend Abhi, who works for Alvinder Singh, one of my YGL buddies, he engaged and the student engaged and everybody would not let up until they found a solution. And they called me over and over again, but I decided to go to sleep. I just figured that there wasn't going to be a positive resolution to this, but whatever it was, I couldn't control it. And about 2 in the morning, and we had to be up at 6, at about 2 in the morning, Abhi called me, and the student called me, and let me know that they had found the driver. He'd actually turned his phone back on, and he was on his way to my hotel. He had found my pouch. And it was on his way back, and they told me, you know, don't get too preoccupied and get your hopes up. Let's see what's in it. But they thought that it would be just fine. Anyway, the driver gets there, and he comes upstairs, and everything is there. There's not a stitch missing. And here's the miraculous part. I asked the guy how much he makes in a month, and he told me, I think it was about $100 US, 4,500 Indian rupees. And I said, let me give you 1 month's pay as a my way of saying thank you. And he said he wouldn't have it. He refused my tip. You can believe that. I knew there must be a miscommunication, so I offered it again through the translator, through the doorman, the bellman who had come up with him to my room. And once again he said no, and I said, look, take it for your family. And then I said, look, I won't tell the taxi company, I won't tell anybody, he won't get you in any trouble, just take the money. And he clearly understood what I was offering, and he said absolutely no. And I turned to the bellman and I said, what's going on, why won't he take it? He said, it's his dignity, it's his honor, he didn't bring this back to you for a reward, he just wants your friendship. And I said, well, what can I do for him? He said, he talked to him, and the guy said, and this is miraculous, he said, just come to my house, be my friend. When you come back to India, come and spend time with me, have a cup of tea, visit my home, talk to my family. That's it. I was dumbfounded, stunned. I mean, what a statement of dignity and humanity and just the power of a human spirit. I gave him a hug, and the tables had turned. I just didn't know what I could do for this guy. He had saved me an enormous frustration and an enormous hassle and wanted nothing more than a thank you. This is my story. This is the best and brightest and most powerful example of dignity in action. And everyone can learn from this story from a modest taxi cab driver in New Delhi, one of almost a billion people here who seem to have found a way to combine spirituality with living in this chaotic life that we call the 21st century. We all can learn a great deal from our Indian brothers, as they can from us. Onward with hope.